This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We are back. The WIP afternoon show. After spending Monday celebrating presidents throughout our history, Ike, Spike, and Fritz, mostly, we're back.
We're back.
How we doing, buddy?
Brother Spike, doing pretty good. Missed you. Was a long weekend. Mm-hmm. We needed it. Coming off of last week in the Super Bowl and that parade Friday, definitely needed the extra day. So shout out to you. And Cookie Rojas is back there behind the glass. Just as I'm just ready for this week with you to begin, because I know that it won't be comfortable for you, Cookie Rojas. Holla at your boy.
What's up?
All right, there he is. Francis. Wait a minute. Where's Jack? Where's Jack? Where's Fritz? I don't understand.
Well, he is a two-time father. Like, the Eagles are two-time champions. Yeah. Jack's a two-time father now.
But the other kid was weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yep.
We have another paternity leave.
Right. He had to catch up on his week off because he sacrificed to come back for the Eagles' postseason run.
Oh, okay, so he sacrificed.
Yeah, he sacrificed.
Oh, okay, so Jack won't be with us this week, but don't worry, we will have the return of Honest Jack, and we'll have a check-in on his tweets, because I told him, you take that week next week, it's fine. I better not see any tweets from you. No tweets, no podcast. So we are back. We've got a great show, as we always do. Tuesdays with Elliot is not just for Eagle season. Oh, no. Elliot Shore Parks joins us at 3. Devin Caney, live from Clearwater, will join us at 4. And Fran gives his shot at the top 5 at 5 at 5 o'clock. We'll see how he does there. And Fran, are you with us anymore this week, or is it just
Thursday, too.
Okay, so we'll see if you can do it on Thursday based on your performance today. So, Ike, as we try to... I guess it's interesting, like with the Super Bowl having just happened, we're sort of in this sort of like nowhere's land in that we're not quite ready to go all in on the Phillies. Lord knows we don't want to talk about the Sixers or the Flyers at this point. And it doesn't feel like we should jump on next Eagles season. But as soon as that season's over, the parade's done, we have to start looking toward it, right?
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore going to New Orleans to be the head coach. Now, it was announced today Kellen Moore has hired T.J. Paganetti, who was the Eagles' run game specialist and offensive line assistant coach. One thinks there is a possibility they'll hire Doug Neusmeyer to be the offensive coordinator. And I think if we hadn't won the Super Bowl, we would have been talking about this offensive coordinator thing a lot more. I understand this is not an easy decision, but this is an enormous hire, I think, for the Philadelphia Eagles. We did see what happened last time they lost an offensive coordinator, right? And the Eagles did not have a great offensive season in 2023. Mm-hmm. I think most notably, Jalen Hurts didn't have an awesome offensive season in 2023 with all those turnovers. And I think more than ever, it is important, after seeing what Hurts is capable of in those final 2 weeks, also knowing we're probably not going to get the same Saquon Barkley back, so we can't just run back the same stuff we've done, for the Eagles to look outside of the organization for their offensive coordinator and not just hire within. I know that Nick has risen to a place with winning a Super Bowl that he will probably want to make that call, and it seems obvious what he's want to do with that call, but I just look at this. This is an opportunity right here. And the Eagles have an opportunity to find one of the best and brightest and bring them into the organization and realize that the offense next year has to perform, I think, at a better clip than the offense did this year, mm-hmm. which is why I think I still continue to think they have to go outside. They have to look at what's there, and they have to use this as an opportunity to make the organization stronger.
Yeah, you know, I look at what they've done and what they have, and I say continue to build on what you've done. And I think that's what, at least that's what early signs are saying, that Nick Sirianni sort of wants to do. He wants to continue to build on what they have, build from within, promote from within. You know, having these working relationships are important when you're talking about a culture that's conducive to winning and you want to have sustained success. And I do believe continuity is important to Jalen. And while I know he didn't give a, let's say, ringing endorsement for Kevin Petullo.
He did not.
He did not. Yep. But when does he ever give a ringing endorsement for anybody?
That is a fair,
right?
So, a fair point.
So yep. I can't even hold that against him. He's just so locked in. Oh, he's dialed in. He's Jordan Mamba mentality now. You know what I mean? He's locked in on everything.
He's locked in. He's locked in on his job.
Yes, on his job. But in all seriousness, this is one of these situations where if the head coach wants to promote from on – his staff to someone who he has full trust and confidence in, someone that he believes shares his vision of success. He talked about it, how any decisions he's made, he's run it past Kevin Petullo, and because that's how much he values his opinions on things. And that sounds like to me that's a ringing endorsement from within. And I think Nick Sirianni, after what he's gone through, what he's overcome, how he has continued to evolve and develop as a head coach, he's earned the right to name his next in charge as far as who he believes will be a good fit to run the offense. Now, if the organization decides, no, we want to go and do something different, then I would say this. You'd better be right, because not only are you showing a lack of confidence in the head coach and how he sort of sees this team being run, if Petullo is still on the staff, that's also another coach who you're showing a lack of confidence in. And I don't know if that's a great way to start off a repeat when you're trying to do what you just did. And so if this is what Nick Sirianni wants, I think Nick Sirianni has earned the right. Whether it turns out to be wrong or not, he's earned the right. I didn't agree with Mike Groh being placed in there and Doug put him in there, but I thought Doug earned the right to do that. He earned that right. Now, when it doesn't work, you get that taken away from you. Things change. But I'd rather have that happen that way versus the other way around, and it doesn't work.
See, you know, I disagree on the Sirianni thing, actually, because I have a lot of faith in him doing what he is doing now. And what I don't want to forget is we found out what he's good at. And I don't know that he is good at, like, you get to this position, you want to reward your guys. But I don't know that the best thing for offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles this year, as they try to repeat as Super Bowl champs, is to reward your guys. Right? I mean, I don't know that that is what we should be doing. I think truthfully, what got us here is Howie Roseman going out and finding the best offensive coordinator available, mm-hmm. going out and finding the best defensive coordinator available. Mm-hmm. You know, we've learned through this time what maybe Nick's not good at, right? We learned maybe Nick's not great at calling plays, right? And maybe Nick's not great at hiring offensive coordinators either. I mean, they sort of failed the last time they promoted from within mm-hmm. with this tenure. And I don't I don't know that Nick's success as a head coach means that he gets all the power he wants in other avenues. They were successful, Howie, going out and finding the best offensive coordinator they did. And I have a lot of respect for Nick Sirianni, mm-hmm. but I still want Howie to go find the best offensive coordinator there is. That is, to me, what got us into this position, and it's what will get us into the same position again.
See, this is where I would disagree there. What got us into this position is Nick Sirianni having the trust and the vision that some of his players had coming to him, and then having the ability to change courses 1/4 of the way through the season, something he had done in his rookie season. Even though Shane Steichen was calling the plays, they still changed their offense to a run-based offense, to where that was the primary direction they wanted to go in. Run first, pass second. They were able to do that this year. And that hasn't been what Kellen Moore was successful at doing in years past. So I would even dare to say this, because I think it was Shady who brought this up at some point during the season, that he had firsthand knowledge that Nick Sirianni has a greater hand in the offense than a lot of people believe.
I remember that, yeah.
Right? So, and that being said, what the offense eventually turned into, how much of that credit really does go to Nick Sirianni? Right? Kellen Moore may have been calling plays or what have you, but the design of the offense and what would work is, this is something Kellen Moore had never done before with an offense, whereas Nick had been in a run-based offense. So I'm not so sure that we aren't giving Nick Sirianni, from a play design and a philosophy, more credit or enough credit. We aren't giving him the amount of credit that we should be giving him. We act as if Kellen Moore was the genius behind all of this, and he's the reason the offense was what it was. If anything, shout out to Kellen Moore. Appreciate the Super Bowl. They had the worst passing offense in the league. I'm not saying it was Kellen Moore's fault.
Right.
I'm saying is the genius of Kellen Moore didn't make the passing game any greater. The running offense is what made the offense what it was. And that was Nick Sirianni's decision to do that.
Yeah, that leans into, I think that the passing game needs to be greater, right?
And
I think the best case for doing that is just keep looking until you find the guy. 215-592-9494. Should Nick Sirianni be able to hire from within for offensive coordinator, or should they look outside the organization? Our leadoff hitter, Corey in Columbus, here on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Yeah, conveniently, y'all missed Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day. We had a party yesterday. Don't worry.
I have something to say about Rhodes doing his theme show.
We celebrated. Don't worry about it. We popped some champagne, some court. You know what I'm saying? We had a good old time celebrating the quarterback. And hold up, do you have another kid? Hold on, I ain't never know you come back and then you get more time?
And when does it end, Corey? Like, I think the biggest question is, when does it end?
Like, what, 2 months old?
When does it end? When does it end? This company.
He come back for the team, man. Please, we were pressing some buttons back there. You know, he went back for a New Orleans trip. He came back for the vacation and all that. Come on, man.
Bring the baby in here. You could do both.
Exactly, man. Right. Exactly. But Mike, I don't want to hear this from you, dog. All that DVOA passing, worst pass off of the league, never won a Super Bowl with that. Nah, dog, we don't want to hear that.
Well, they won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl passing the ball, though.
They broke history. You know what I'm saying? All that never DVOA lowest and all that, never won. Guess what? We won. So Sirianni, Howie, if y'all want to collab, listen. I'm not saying just give it to Kevin Petullo. You know, have an interview. Obviously, they got to do the Rooney Rule and all that. Interview some guys. And if Sirianni if Sirianni likes a certain person, whether it be a Petullo and he you know, outshines you, then he deserves to be hired. My thing with the whole offense situation is like kind of like what Ike said. It ain't like this offense last year. Let's get something on the record about last year. Last year, the offense was not bad. They collapsed. It was not bad. Now, I don't feel like it was just, you know, calling plays that made the collapse happen. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there was some intricate, you know, backdoor stuff going on that we don't know about still to this day That was the reason why they cut. The defense was terrible. Like, let's not act like this defense played a lot into this offense playing
That's
best.
True.
Yes,
you know
of course.
Yep. All them slow starts earlier in the year, we got better towards the end of the season, but we was not scoring in the first quarter, and the defense was holding them to 7-0. Let's not forget that. You know what I'm saying? So, Kellen Moore, you know, he a cute little guy, but Kellen Moore, you a sucker, dog. Shout out to Rio.
Wow.
You up here trying to take our players, take our coaches, and you hiring all, you interviewing the whole staff. Damn, I thought you coaching Dallas and everybody. Where are them guys at? Why you interviewing our whole staff? Oh, my good damn. Like, you know what I'm saying? You want to take, like, Nussmeier, it makes sense. You know, his son play at LSU. They probably going to try to draft him next year, you know, try to make a little Bronny LeBron coaching. You know? That makes sense. But, damn, you hiring the running back. You trying to interview the running back coach?
Listen, we better find out how much money there under the salary cap. He's going to be signing Josh Sweat and Zach Bond and Mekhi Becton.
Right. And I'm going to be real. If you need to give us, you know, a little Chris Olave, we'll take him off your hands. You know what I'm saying? Well, whatever you need to get rid of to clear some cap, you know how he caught the Saints up. Thanksgiving, whatever you want for free.
No, we don't want Chris Olave. He can't, listen, God bless him, but he can't stay healthy, man.
At the number three, man. At the number three or four, I take him. I don't want nobody on their defense, though. They too old.
Last thing, Corey. Did you have a good time at the – I didn't see you at the parade.
Did you go to the parade?
You survive the parade?
Y'all, see, y'all – yeah, I think I got a little sickness, a little something from it. But y'all up high. Jack all of a sudden, his phone don't work. I'm messaging him. He's talking about all the – I'm like, whatever, man. All right, I'll holler at y'all next time. But I had a good old time. You know, got a high five from Landon Dickerson.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a good old time celebrating the win. But I ain't missed. Like, y'all missed the appreciation day yesterday. We're going to have to do another one.
I heard some of it.
Yeah. We'll have to have a little talk with Broads. All right, Corey.
All right, Corey.
Yeah. Broads, what do you think of Broads doing his big theme shows here when we're not here?
Disgusting!
Yeah, what do we think of that? There's no doubt he thought about that, doing that specific show in the time slot where Jack and I were.
Listen, I thought he was perfect. I thought it was the perfect guy to have a Jalen Hurts appreciation day.
Thirsty Broads.
Yeah, listen, he pulled it off, though. He did it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who called up wanting to appreciate Jalen.
He's something else, man. 215-592-9494. Should the Eagles hire from within for offensive coordinator, or should they go outside the organization? And Corey mentioned we weren't down there in the parade. I have to be honest with you. I thought the parade was amazing to watch where we were.
Yeah.
We were up in the Logan, you know, on the whatever the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cold. I am too old to be down with everybody else. It isn't that I don't love the Eagles, and it isn't that I don't love, you know, the fans and our listeners.
Oh, you said it right. We're too old to be down there, bro.
Dude, I'm too old for that.
I
get irritated when there's more than five people in a room, much less, because we had to run back, and it was after the parade was over. Even at that point, with everybody dispersed, I'm like, too many people here. I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm looking behind me.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, man.
It's
a lot of people, man. A million plus people are a lot of people.
It's too many people.
Man.
Too many people. It's like 15 links.
Man, I tell you, the drone shots.
Oh, yeah.
Flying over the top. Those were pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
I've seen
crazy.
Some of those videos. Because where we were, sometimes you don't realize how many people that were lined up and down Broad Street.
Right.
And that parade started in South Philly.
Yep.
So you think about how many fans that lined the Broad Street on both sides, and would have like 10 deep on each side all the way into Center City. It was a beautiful sight. What a sight.
Amazing sight. From up top of a different building.
And I agree.
In my young days, I used to go to festival concerts all the time. I would have been there right in the middle of it. It's just like, I don't have that in me anymore. I just don't have it in me. Again, glad it happened. Glad you went.
Yeah.
And you're glad that I was in the middle of it, too. 215-592-9494. Carl in Maple Shade. You're on WIP. What's up, Carl?
Hey, guys. Thanks for bringing me in.
Yes, sir.
What up, Carl?
Not like being in a winner's circle.
It is great to be in a winner's circle, right?
Feels good. Almost don't know how to handle it, to be quite honest with you.
It hasn't even completely sunk in yet. They want me to talk about Phillies. I mean, there's just so much Eagles talk.
Yeah.
One of them, Zach Bond. I mean, I want him back, like, priority number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hearing that he's holding all the cards. And if I was the Eagles, I wouldn't be afraid to remind his agent that the reason he's excelled is because he's playing behind the best defense in the game. If he goes somewhere else, other teams know he might not. I mean, if he wants to continue to play at the same level that he's been playing at, then he'll stay with us.
Mm. Well, I mean, no, go ahead, Ike. I'm sorry.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, listen, that's great for us as Eagles fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way, but they're going to have to at least give him a respectable offer that he wouldn't mind taking. I'm sure he wants to be here also, but this probably will be, Carl, his one and only shot to get to achieve family financial security, right? That goes beyond just his immediate family. It could go into his kids' generations of growing up. You know, if there's a team out there that's willing to offer him $20, $30 million, I don't see how he turns that down at 27, 28 years old. He's certainly not going to get a bigger payday down the road, and he's won a championship. So, I mean, we can't take the Super Bowl back from him. He's going to be a champion for the rest of his life. And for a guy who came out and paid his dues and was a backup player and never saw that big payday, he wants to cash in. I know it's great that he played here and he played in the system, he played behind these players, but a lot of the credit goes to Zach Bond. He put in the work to do this. Like, he's not just solely successful because of the guys that are around him and the team that he was on. You got to give him credit also for putting the work in and then capitalizing when the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, they're successful because of him as much as he's successful because of them. And
I want him here.
Carl, I think it's easy for us to count other people's money, but if you have a difference, let's say they guaranteed him $20 million here and somebody else guaranteed him $32 million. Like,
at $12 million is a lot of money to turn down.
Far be it from me to, you know.
Well, guys, so. I would never count anybody else's money. I think that the Eagles will offer him financial security along with incentives that might be able to make up for all the variables and things that are involved. There's no way that the Eagles are not going to offer him security in life in some way or another.
I agree, and I think if it's anything, I think if it's anything close, he stays. I think Zach Bond realizes exactly what Carl said. He's playing with a great young defense. He has great talent in front of him. He's playing for a coach who had the foresight to see him playing as a stacked linebacker, which he had never done before. He's always been an edge guy, and he excelled at it. Why wouldn't he want to stay here? But he's not going to just stay here out of loyalty. It's up to the Eagles to at least give him an offer that he feels appreciated, and he's like, you know what? If it's just a couple million dollars different, yeah, I'll stay here. I want to be here.
Yeah, there's a reason that he doesn't, that I'm sure his agent told him, you're not allowed to sign a contract at the parade. Right?
Right.
At this moment.
He would have signed it then.
At this moment, everybody feels like, and you could hear it from the players who, this is the first time they've experienced this. You heard it from Bond. You heard it from Becton. You heard it from Saquon, of course. But then there's the issue of his entire future and all those things. And I think it's important they retain him. I actually don't have Bond number one on my most important list to retain him. But he was huge for the Eagles this year. But this is probably the biggest, whatever contract he signs now is the biggest contract he's ever going to sign in his NFL career. So he has to make sure that it's right.
Here's the one good thing for us as Eagles fans. He's the cheapest of the group.
Yes, in terms of total cost.
Yes.
Yep.
He will be the cheapest of the group. So he should be the one that's easier to sign of the other free agents. It's just a matter of where's that priority for the Eagles?
Yep.
Is it, you know, they love to build on the lines, in the trenches, D linemen, O linemen. You know, if they say they would rather have Milton Williams. I don't know. Milton Williams is probably going to cost you more than Zach Bond cost.
Josh Sweat's going to cost you more than Zach Bond.
Josh Sweat is probably going to cost you more than Zach Bond. Mekhi Becton is probably going to cost you more than Zach Bond would cost you.
Yep.
So that's the good thing for us as fans, is that he won't be as expensive as those other guys.
215-592-9494. Should Nick Sirianni get to pick his offensive coordinator? Even now, he didn't pick the last one. We did fine. Coming up
next.
Well,
he's the new BDN.
Who Nick is?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him in the shower.
Wow.
Well, I haven't. Well, I haven't seen the other one in the shower, I think, yes. Fairness. No one's mentioned it, though. None of the Eagles mentioned, hey, guess what? We got another one here. Coming up next, I'm just telling it like it is. Coming up next, the MVP odds are already out for next NFL season. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know where Jalen Hurts sits in those odds, Ike. And we'll discuss what we should expect from Jalen next year. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We bring the boom. That's what we do. We bring the boom.
I haven't done this in a while.
We bring the boom.
Yeah, what happened to these guys?
I feel like I see him pop up on my TikTok feed now and then, but not like before.
I never see him anymore.
Not like before. Are they over, Fran? Are the Bring the Boom guys
over? I just remember
over?
Jack played this one time. You know, trying to be more selfless, not play on my return.
AJ and Big Justice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're cooked, though.
Are they cooked?
Yeah. I think so, man.
I think they're cooked.
I think so.
I didn't know who they were, to be honest.
You didn't know who they were?
No.
You haven't seen them at all on the internet?
Once I went on Spotify and looked at this song, I was like, oh, I've seen them before.
Okay.
But I know those were their names.
Right? Yes. Yeah. AJ and Big Justice.
Yeah. And then they brought in Rizzo. What's his name? The Rizzer?
It's Rizzler.
Rizzler.
Rizzler. I was like, Rizzo, you confuse it. I was like, wait a minute, what is his name?
the Rizzler.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fritzy not here. As he is taking paternity leave again, even though it's the same kid. There's not another kid. I tweeted out that Jack was taking paternity leave again, and somebody was like, how do you have a third kid? He didn't. Still the second kid. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Make your someone special. Feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond engagement ring from Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Ike, here is the question. Are you okay with the Eagles going internal with their new offensive coordinator if that's what Nick Sirianni prefers? What do you think the response is here? Yes or no? If Nick Sirianni wants to go internal, are you all right with him doing it?
I'll go with yes, and then I'll go with, let's go with 65%.
58.1%.
58.1.
Yeah. So 40
is yes. 58.1 is yes.
58.1 is yes. 41.9 is two. I do think, you know, people have come to a certain place on Nick. I don't think they've come sort of like all the way on Nick. I think if they had been all the way on Nick, this poll would look a little different. It would have been Nick gets to do whatever Nick wants.
That clearly states it that some people aren't necessarily fully on board.
I want to do two things. I want to give respect to Nick Sirianni for the job that he's done, mm-hmm. but also make sure that we're reminding ourselves what that job was and what that job wasn't. That job wasn't picking coordinators. That job wasn't calling plays. That job was being what he was, right? The culture setter, the accountability guy, all of those things. And I don't always think that because you're good at one thing, that it means you're going to be good at another thing. And, you know, you said if they go outside and don't go with what Nick wants, they better be right. They better be right this time, too, because I do think it would be weird to pull that responsibility away from him again. You don't want this like constant push and pull. And I think that the reward to Nick Sirianni is a contract extension. The reward to Nick Sirianni is public perception. Mm-hmm. But the award for Nick Sirianni for winning the Super Bowl shouldn't necessarily, I don't think, be more responsibility. I think it should be continue to do the things that you're doing.
Well, this isn't more responsibility. This is having a say in who's going to be his next OC.
But it is more responsibility, though. It's responsibility he didn't have last year.
Well, sure, but I'm saying it's not more responsibility. He's not calling plays or anything. It's just basically having a voice in the room. I think he's earned that. When you win a Super Bowl, to me, all that stuff goes out the window. Yes, Howie did his job by bringing in these people and that sort of thing, but he isn't infallible either. Like, it's not that, you know, that everything he did was aces as well.
Well, for sure. Yep.
So I just, my only thing is how bad does Nick Sirianni want it? for Kevin Pitullo. So that would be the thing for me, because I'm more or less concerned about disharmony and having a coach who doesn't feel appreciated or heard. You know, they need to learn from mistakes that have been made in the past. And it doesn't have to be all your way all the time. And you know what? Yeah, there may be a little bit of uncertainty there. But again, if he's banging the drum for it, he's earned the right, in my opinion, to have his guy there.
I think the other thing that I worry about with Nick is the idea of going and getting somebody outside the organization that's a splashy name.
Mm-hmm.
People don't always like to hire people behind them with a big name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they could be potentially intimidated by. Mm-hmm. And not that I think Nick is intimidated by, not that that's first on my concern list, but it also, I also don't think he is secure enough, he feels secure enough in who he is to go say, I'm going to go hire this guy from this other place that's getting all this credit, and I feel totally comfortable with him behind me, that people aren't going to start yelling that he should have my job and so on and so forth. Yeah, but they're not going to do it for Kevin Pitullo.
Right.
You know, that's the other reason.
Does the head coach deserve to have that? Does the head coach not deserve to have somebody where he has to look over his shoulder? If they had come up short, that's one thing. But when you win the Super Bowl, like, to me, all that stuff goes out the window.
No, I don't think so.
For me, it does.
215-592-9494. Should Nick Sirianni get to pick his next coordinator? VP, you're on WIP. What's up, VP?
Hey, guys.
What's up,
I'm
VP?
Trying to recover from spending 8 days in Philly celebrating that win, so my voice is a little shot. Sorry.
Oh yeah, you were at. Now, where were you stationed during the parade?
I was just south of the Oval, so I watched the speeches on a screen, but I could also see the art museum. So.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. You're right near us, then. You're sort of right below,
right there,
right where we're looking down. Yep.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so cold, but it was awesome.
It was cold, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I that's the other thing in my old age.
It was cold.
Every year I get older, I can handle the cold a little bit worse than I could handle it the year before. Yeah. We got up there at like 8:30, and within 15 minutes, I was thinking, can we go home yet, to be honest with you. I don't handle the cold well either very much.
I mean, I learned in 2018, sitting there that day, I was well-dressed, I was prepared, but it was still cold. You know, there's only so much you can do. But I also have to tell you, walking out of the parade, there was this group of guys, probably in their 20s, and they were singing Creed. And it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the other guy's like, no way, dude, no, not till 5:30.
Oh, I like that.
100%. Well,
you can sing Creed anytime. As long as you sing it at 5:30, any other time is good too.
Well, at first I was like, this can't be coincidence. And then when they said the 5:30 thing, I just laughed. That was great.
I love it. I love it.
Man, I called in. I almost always agree with Ike's opinion. I'm struggling with this one. And then, so I called in to say that I agree with you, Spike, but now Ike's got me scared.
There it is. There it is. We can't let people sit on hold and listen to Ike.
What scared you?
Yeah.
So my initial reaction is, you know, I have supported Nick since we got him. I call in and talk about his stats, and I have never turned on Nick. I think he's an amazing coach. But I think Howie was genius level this year. In fact, I hope that beer didn't shake anything loose or whatever, because, you know, he was so good. And so if it comes down to it, in my opinion, in seeing the big picture of the whole team and seeing the path forward, the future, I have to vote for Howie. But then, oh my gosh, like you started talking about before, and I assume you're talking about 2020 and the whole Press Taylor mess that happened.
Yep.
And like that was a 3-month span where the Eagles just made me sick to my stomach, like almost every time I listen to the news. So now I think Howie should be the one, but I think Howie has to find a way to do it that there isn't the hard feelings that we ended up with Doug, between Doug and Howie and Jeffrey and everything else, because that would just taint everything from this point forward. And so now I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, the one thing they can't allow to happen, VP, is a power struggle, right? Like, you know, I mentioned this last week that when you finally do win the ring, sometimes one of the biggest obstacles or hurdles to overcome moving forward is handling success and everybody feeling more empowered because they all won a ring. Like, then now everybody feels like, hey, I got the ring. I should be able to say this. I should have say in this. I remember Donovan saying last week that Jalen should have say on who the offensive coordinator is going to be, right? He said that last week.
He did.
Yeah. And do you think Jalen, shouldn't have say on who should be the offensive coordinator?
I don't. I run a business and we hire people. They have specific skills. And we hire them for that. And when everybody is doing their job perfectly, that's how you succeed. And that's Nick says all the time, you can't be great without the greatness of others. But that means you have to allow other people to own their roles and be great in their roles. You can't now suddenly want to do everything yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like how we hired Kellen Moore last year. Okay, does anybody really think that was a genius hire?
I mean, we just won the Super Bowl. I'm not complaining about anything, well, I don't think it was super.
I'm just asking whether or not it was a genius hire with Kellen Moore, his offense and everything else. Now, Howie's great contribution last year was signing Saquon Barkley and Mekhi Becton.
Right.
Go ahead.
And his draft picks and yep,
sure, the players, but not necessarily the offensive coordinator.
Here's what I think it did though.
Yeah.
Is that it set a precedent. Here's what your job isn't. And I think if you were to hire somebody from outside, there's probably less chance that there is a blurring of who is doing what and whose job what is. I think he should talk to
Nick. Somebody's going to come in who wasn't a part of the Super Bowl team, who wasn't a part of this team's success, and somehow is going to have what authority role?
Be the offensive coordinator, like Kellen.
But I'm saying, but he has the ability to tell Nick. See, it's easy to tell Nick that when you have a 6 out of 7 game collapse at the end of the year, right? It's easy to tell Nick, you're not doing the offense, this is what you're doing. But when you win the Super Bowl, it's not as easy to say, you're going to do this.
Yeah, I guess my worry is always there's a reason that pride is listed as one of the 7 deadly
sure,
sins, right?
And they all have it down there.
Yeah, well,
all of them.
I'm aware.
Yeah,
but managing that is one of the most important things. You didn't get here by doing X, Y, and Z, and doesn't just like the same reason Jalen just won Super Bowl MVP. I don't want Jalen hiring the offensive coordinator either.
But you don't think he should have any say?
No.
I agree. I think
Howie should talk.
I wonder if Jalen agrees with everybody on that, though, that he shouldn't have any say on who's about to coach him.
Well, he had say once and didn't work out. Right.
But they all have made mistakes from that standpoint.
Well, that's fair. It's less about that and more about this isn't what your job is. Your job is to go out there and play quarterback. Nick's job is to go out and be the head coach. Howie's job is to go out and hire people.
I wish it was that simple.
Well, in reality, it's less that simple. Right.
Yes.
All right, VP. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, VP.
Speaking of Jalen.
Now, if everybody agrees, then we don't have anything to disagree about.
Oh, yeah. But the odds of everyone agreeing.
That's my whole thing.
Right.
So to me, Howie is the one who would be least offended by any of this.
In what
Unless
way?
He has an ego.
Well, I'm sure he does.
But. What you just said, ego. But if he's doing what he thinks is best, like if his coach has a certain opinion on it, and let's say, God forbid, that Jalen is in agreement on keeping Kevin Petullo, and you still decide to go with something else.
Yeah, it's just like that's what his job is.
Yeah. I don't know if that's really what his job. I understand that's under his job title. His job is also create a culture that is a culture where everybody works together that's pulling in the same direction. Like, that's also his job. Like, I'm sure Howie would have wanted Bryce Huff on the field.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to swallow his ego.
Absolutely.
Right, because it wasn't what was best. Even though he signed him all that money and this and that and the other, him staying out of the way and trusting the coach knows best. allowed for his defense to be the number one defense. They also got rid of Devin White, who I'm sure Howie wasn't happy about moving on from.
I think it's important for Howie to make sure that people have a voice, but it's important for Howie to make the decision.
Well, as long as he listens to his guys, and we don't know what decision he will make. So he may listen to his guys and decide to go with him on it.
But absolutely.
And that's fine.
If that's what right. his decision is.
My only thing is the disconnect and everybody not being on the same page. That's really my concern.
Yeah,
if everybody's on the same page, then we're all, it's cool.
So if everyone's not on the same page, you defer to Nick?
Yes, that's who I would defer
to. See, if everybody's not on the same page, I would defer to Howie.
Okay.
That's where I am. All right, the MVP odds are out for next year. And where do you guess Jalen Hurts, at least, I'll tell you the odds, but where do you think he ranks sort of like first to 10th in MVP odds?
Well, he should be top five.
He is not, but he's close. He is six. So the favorite at plus 550, or co-favorites, are Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is plus 750.
Okay.
They're both plus 550. Patrick Mahomes plus 750. Joe Burrow also plus 750. Jaden Daniels plus 1,000. And then Jalen Hurts plus 1,600. Herbert at plus 2,200. And then C.J. Stroud at plus 2,500.
Great odds for Jalen.
What's that?
Great odds.
Yeah, I mean, I think six is...
Oh, when I say great odds, I mean...
Oh, to bet it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, if he... What I expect from Jalen next season is if he plays the way that he played these last two games, if we get those games from a statistical standpoint, the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl were sort of like what Josh Allen games look like this year.
Mm-hmm.
High completion percentage, decent yards, couple of touchdowns, low turnovers. It was definitely a step up from what he had done in many regular season games next year. I think if Jalen Hurts were to play the way that he played in those two games, he's going to have bad games in there, of course. But if his game looks like and feels like the way that it did in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, I think he will be an MVP, a true MVP finalist next year.
Yeah,
if he doesn't, I don't think. Do you expect more games like that out of him next year?
Yes.
I would as well.
Yeah, to me those games, I mean, other than not turning the ball over, like those are games that he could easily have 220, 230 yards passing, like those with these weapons, he should be able to do that every week.
Sure.
I mean, in his MVP runner-up year, I think he averaged 250, 240-something.
Yeah, it's not like his passing numbers were outrageous in 22.
Yeah.
It was that he was – you could just – to me, with Hurts, it was more about watching those games and the way that they felt more than the passing numbers at the end.
Well, no, this team was Saquon Barkley's. Saquon Barkley was the best team – I mean, best player all year long. Yeah, you can't have – 4 or 5 weeks where you throw for 150 yards, 140 yards, and be the MVP.
And you know what? They're not gonna be able to put the sort of physical pressure they put on Saquon Barkley next year on this year.
I agree.
And they do that, it does two things. It's not, to me, it's less about passing the ball more and more about scoring more points. And if they're able to score more points by passing the ball more effectively, we lean on Saquon less and we get through that season a little bit less. And look, maybe if the defense, if we lose a couple of players off the defense, I don't know that we can expect a number one defense every single year. So if they take a little bit of a step back, then they're able to still be great without leaning on the defense and leaning on Saquon the way that they've leaned on him this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
215-592-9494. Patrick in Newtown Square. You're on WIP. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Ike, Spike, and Fritz at home. I think with regards to the hiring, especially the offensive coordinator and even making decisions on players, to some extent, I think you guys are absolutely nuts if you think anyone but Jeffrey and Howie aren't making those calls.
Well,
what do you mean? Of course they are.
I mean, like, I think Nick, at best, if he's lucky, gets invited into the room just to talk about who the next offensive coordinator is going to be.
Wow,
and that's all. Hasn't that been the case since Chip was hired and he got full reign and what happened? And since then, they've been so successful doing it themselves, and how would they like veer from that path of how they operate?
Well, I don't know if they've been doing it. I don't know if they've been doing it themselves. And even if they have, when they were at odds with Doug about who the OC was, and they brought in Rick Scangarello and guys like that, that didn't necessarily produce a culture of cohesiveness and everybody being on the same page. So they may have done that. And like I said, it's a lot easier to sort of take back the reins from a head coach when his job is hanging on by a thread. His job's not hanging on by a thread right now. He's a Super Bowl champion as a head coach, and he's about to get an extension. So it was a lot easier last year, coming off of that year, to bring in Kellen Moore. And I'm still not so sure how much Nick was involved or not involved with the play, with the game planning and things of that nature. So I don't think it's just solely we do what we want to do and you just accept it. I'd be shocked if they didn't bring Nick Sirianni in to get his thoughts on it. Now, his word may not carry as much weight, or it may not have carried as much weight prior to last Sunday. That all changed when you win a Super Bowl. It just does.
Yeah, well, Doug won a Super Bowl too. And I think, like, you know, if Nick kind of pipes up and says, you know, I just won, and, like, I'm being successful, like, you know, here's who I want to hire. I think Jeffrey and Howie say, hey Nick, remember that interview when we hired you? Remember what we told you? Like, we're making these decisions, you know? So I don't care what you've done since then. That's all well and good, and that's what we hired you for. But
yeah, I don't think that's how the meeting is going. I understand that's the way you're trying to portray that it would go or should go. I don't think that's how it's going.
And I mean, I think with regards to the free agents too, like, unfortunately, I think, like, it would be great to bring back, you know, Bond and some of the other ones if possible. But I also think that they look at it in terms of, well, we just won a Super Bowl with these guys. So who's to say we can't go out and get guys just like this again for next year to fill the spot of these guys? You know, because they certainly can't keep them all. I think that's kind of the way that they operate. Like, we can do
I think that's the way you would operate when you're portraying them as if they don't care about what anyone thinks or says other than them. That's the way that comes off.
I've been a fan forever, and I know Nick. I mean, I know Howie, and I know Jeffrey, and I think I know how they operate. And
well, I've been a fan for 27 years, and I've worked for them. So I think I know I worked for them. Yeah.
He trumped you on that one.
Yeah, so I understand.
I think ultimately they want to win, and they're going to do what they need to do to win, or what's in their best interest to win.
I understand that, but what you're saying, Patrick, what you're saying is, I understand that too, ultimately, but what you're saying or implying is that others' thoughts, they don't weigh that into consideration. As if they don't care what Nick thinks, or they don't care that a player wants more money or wants to re-sign here for new money. It doesn't matter. We just won a Super Bowl. We can win without you. Go ahead and go somewhere else. Like, that's what you're implying to me, it sounds like. I could be wrong, but that's what it sounds like.
I just think that they're confident in the decisions that they make, like the same as they made decisions on Barkley and Bond and Becton and, like, you know, all those decisions that they make in the offseason. Like, look what it did for them this year.
I know.
Like, who's to say that they're not telling themselves, well, let's go out and do it again this offseason because we can't bring all these guys back. So, you know?
All right.
Well, thank you for the call, Patrick. that's pride and ego, too, thinking that, you could just replace.
That's all pride and ego.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's thinking you could just magically. You know, I looked yesterday. The Eagles, I saw it on ESPN.com. The Eagles had, of all defenses in the NFL, had the fourth lowest cap hit of all teams on defense last year, which is, you know, when you're going to spend the money that they spend on offense. That I wish the NFL salary cap wasn't as complicated as it is, because we sit here and say they can't keep all of them. I actually have no idea what they can keep and what they can't keep and what they can spend on and what they can't spend on.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting that Becton wasn't on a big deal. Bond wasn't on a big deal. Mitchell, DeGene were both on rookie deals. Yeah. Milton Williams was on a rookie deal. Jalen Carter's still on his rookie deal. So, like, this was a defense built not by spending money. This was a defense built in part. They said goodbye to what's his name, who went to the Jets.
Hassan Reddick,
in part because of money.
Yeah.
So I wish it was easier for us to figure out what they could actually spend, because then we could actually we could make guesses as to what they could do. I can't make those guesses.
And I would also say a big part of the reason the Eagles had success this year is because they listened to others versus what they had been sort of embedded in believing from a sports science standpoint and other things. They changed up their practice habits, right? More physical practices, things of that nature. That's because an old school head coach came in. So to say they don't listen, I don't agree with that. And a big reason why they had success this year is because they got off of being sort of their feet planted where they wanted it, and they have all the answers, and they're not listening to anyone else. One could argue the reason they had success this year is because they were flexible and listened to others as opposed to what they had been doing in the past.
Yeah, less top-down.
Yes.
Yeah. So we really have to do Elliot Tuesdays with Elliot all year long after football season?
It's kind of tough to do him during baseball season,
yeah,
basketball
yeah,
season,
I know,
hockey
I know.
Season.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Tuesdays
hockey season? We are in hockey season.
Yeah, we're in hockey season.
Well, Four Nations.
That's the rumor. Wait, what's that?
It's like, come on, the Four Nations are happening right now.
Four Nations.
You don't know
Four
about
Nations.
That?
It's USA
and Canada. Yes, I did see that.
Yes, awesome.
Sorry. We're going to do football with Elliot next. Elliot Shore Parks, Tuesdays with Elliot is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.